I want to dismiss all the junior high kids. If you're 6th, 7th, or 8th graders, you're dismissed now to go to your class. Please make your way out. If you're new and you have a junior high student in your family, they're welcome to go. They don't have to sign up for this. Our team will take them over to our student center right now safely and effectively and quickly. Today we'll be taking communion at the conclusion of our message. And so if you're online today, you'd like to take communion with us, feel free to go now and prepare those elements. You have a few minutes to get those ready. You can grab whatever to drink, whatever you can to eat. Doesn't have to be official communion elements. But as you came in the door today, hopefully you got your cup and bread as you came in, and hopefully got sermon notes as well. Take those out. I want us to go to Psalm 100, and I want to officially say hello to everybody that's watching online right now. We have people from all over the country that watch, people from all over San Marcos. Many of our church family haven't made it back in person yet. And so we're so thankful that you're engaged online. You're part of our community. We love you so much. But some of you may not realize we have people that watch from other states. One of our dear friends, Carol Cullen, a part of our church, has been in our church for so many years and is now living in Wisconsin. She actually led a small group through our How to Be Made Whole series out of state. I mean, that's so cool that that happened. If you live out of our area and you'd like help to build community around you, maybe a small group that you would like to lead there online or in person, would love to help you. Let us know that. Comment. I saw something pretty funny this week on Facebook. I just put, hey, what are y'all doing this weekend? And so many people responded, I loved reading all that. But one gentleman in our church is a pilot, and he said that he was going to be watching today as he flew in the cockpit. So let's pray right now for everyone on that flight. I said, you got to get your co-pilot, take a picture. So if you're out there, you know who I'm talking. You know who you are. Thank you for joining us out in the friendly skies, wherever that is. Another funny thing that happened. I share stories about my life, about what happens in my life, and try to, give y'all a little picture of what it's like. And so I think it was a couple months ago, I told this story about how I stub my toes wherever I go in our house. And I still, to this day, on my little pinky toe over here is black because I rammed it into a door jamb in the middle of the night, like at 2 a.m. in the middle of the night, going to the restroom, which I go to every single night. But for some reason, I was unaware and hooked that thing, and bam. So another gentleman that watches online gave me this lantern that I can now take into the bathroom every night. I love it. So helpful, helping me out. Thank you for that. I want to let you also know that on December 13th, just a few weeks from now, it's our big Impact Sunday. That's where we're all bringing something special, a financial gift to send out to our ministry partners. One of the big consequences of COVID-19 is that people in these other ministries have really, really had a tough time funding what they're needing to do, and many of them overseas have had more to do. They've had more to do and less to do it with. And so at Promise End, we don't want to just be inwardly focused. We really believe that the power of giving up and giving out is something that we need to model as a church. And so we're going to give. We're going to give big. And so pray about this with your family, your home, your dorm, your apartment, whoever's with you. Think about it, what you can bring on December 13th as a special one-time gift to really help. But how could we do that? How could we do that in 2020 when there's so many complications happening, so many hard things happening? And so the last 3 weeks, we've been talking about this idea of giving thanks in the middle of nothing. Thanks for nothing. Many people might say, well, I have nothing to be thankful for. Here we are in Thanksgiving week. I know you've been preparing. Erica made a big order on HEB. We got this huge delivery to our house of all kind of food items. We're preparing our stomachs for Thursday, Friday. I heard about somebody that was addicted to leftovers, and you know how to quit the addiction to leftovers? You just quit cold turkey. That's how you. It's for you, Tim. Tim always likes my cheesy jokes. Anyway, preparing our stomachs, preparing our hearts. I want to help you with that. I want us to enter into this week with the right heart, to have a heart of thanksgiving, even in the middle of what some would say would be nothing. To be thankful in the middle of a year that just has been so difficult. So our decision this week is, do we turn and focus on the nothing? Do we focus on the negative? Do we turn and look into that? Or do we turn to God? And I'm praying and believing that our church family, as believers, we're not going to turn to the negativity, the bitterness, the confusion, the lack of whatever it is, the change that we want. Instead, we're going to turn and focus on the goodness of God. Amen. Because He has been so good. Yeah. He's been so good. But it's not easy to do because negativity is so contagious. And it is so clingy, it's hard to get negative off. I mean, negativity is intoxicating. It is all-encompassing. It, you know, you get negative news and you can't, it's hard to get away from it. You know what I'm talking about? It's like, get away. I want to get it off. Restaurant owners, business owners would tell you that, somebody that has a negative experience in their business are 10 times more likely to go to Yelp and put a comment and a one-star review than they are, if they have a good experience, go give some sort of online review. Just because negativity is just so present. It's just so all-encompassing, and so much of it is because we're entitled. We are arrogant, we're prideful, we're entitled. We feel like it's owed to us. We take it for granted. And when things are not just the way we want them to be, we are surprised and offended, and how dare, and how could this be? And so we don't want to be that way. We don't want to be that way as followers of Jesus. So I want to help you today with four ways to get rid of that negativeness, that negativity, negativity. The nothing, the bleh. Okay, so here it is, and we're going to go to Psalm 100, and it helps us with this. Psalm 100 is going to lead us with four ways to do this, and it starts with this: get together with other believers. If you're writing notes, if you got that note, that's the first line there on your notes: get together with other believers. Now, this is a message that you've heard at Promised Land, and this is a message you're always going to hear at Promised Land. We're going to keep beating the drum of getting together with other believers. We're going to be doing that online. If you're gathering online, keep getting together online. I know there's Zoom fatigue. That's a new term now. There's streaming fatigue and all that kind of stuff. Keep getting together with other believers. Psalm 101, shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. All the earth. That's everybody. Shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Look what verse 2 says. Come before Him with singing, singing with joy. Okay, so all the earth come together. This began in Genesis at the very beginning when Adam and Eve got together with God. They gathered together on a regular basis. And we know this because of chapter 3 when sin came in. God came to meet with them in the cool of the day like He was used to doing, and they weren't there. They weren't there. It's a heartbreaking story where God comes together with His people and they are hiding. And people have been hiding and running ever since. And so this is what the scripture is saying. All the earth, it's time to come back together. And so for thousands and thousands of years, believers continue to get together. It's important. And I'm preaching to the choir today because you're here, right? You have got together today. Those of you online, you are online. That's awesome. But what I want to challenge you with is don't just let getting together be an accident. Don't just let gathering together be something that's coincident. Or, you know, when it's a holiday, or when it's convenient, or when there's nothing else going on. Make a priority in your family, in your life. Those of you that are young, college students, young adults, teenagers, set that in your sights at a young age. And let getting together be something that's a big, big part of what you do. Push through the excuses, push through the difficulty. As my dad would say, every time the doors are open, we're going to be there. That's what it was like when I was a kid, and they would drive across town. We grew up in the Buda area, and our church was on 51st Street on the other side of downtown. And we would drive multiple times a week, get together with other people, get together. It matters. Push through it. Hang around people. Eat meals with people. Go to Torchy's. Come on, go to Chipotle. Go to Herbert's. Pray for your food when you go to Herbert's. But I'm kidding. I love you, Herbert's. Eat together. Gary was at our service, the first service. He owns the bowling alley. Go bowling together. Get together online. Connect with one another. Be on mission with one another. We're going to have mission opportunities come up. We're doing boxes. We're going out feeding people. We're organizing international trips again in 2021, believing those are going to happen. Go on trips together. Be on mission together. Worship together. Play together. Hang out. Go play golf. Ask questions. Pray together. Challenge one another. Love on one another. Help one another out. I mean, it's so important that we get together on a regular basis. This week, I had a prayer meeting that happens on a regular basis, and it's with pastors here in town. And I've been praying with pastors in town for years, and have developed strong friendships with many of the pastors here in town. Some of them have left. I'm still good friends with them because of, you know, just praying together and loving on one another. And so there was this big prayer meeting this coming week, and man, I was busy. I had things to do. I had not put it on my calendar to block it off yet. And Thursday morning rolls around, and I get a text from one of the pastors from Cypress Creek in Wimberley, Jose. He said, "Are you coming today? Because I'm going." And I was like, "Yes, I am. Thank you for texting me and reminding me." But there was something so important there. I don't want you to miss it. That is accountability. You need Jose in your life. You need somebody in your life that, hey, are you getting together with other believers? And the only way that I have Jose in my life is because I have him in my life. We go to eat, we hang out, we email, we text. We're in each other's life. We get together. And so I'm telling you this because it doesn't matter who you are. You never graduate from this idea of needing other people. We always need other. We always need each other. We always need other people. And so I went to the prayer meeting, and they were already in there just praying. There was about 20 guys and just kind of walking around San Marcos Community Church's worship center praying. I found a spot. I began to kneel and pray, call out to God, and just connect with God. It was just beautiful to be in a room with other pastors. And we're just kind of spread out all over the place, just praying on our own for about 30 minutes. And then Pastor gets up, Montoya gets up and says, "Hey, we're going to get in groups of four. So turn chairs around and just start talking to one another. Get in groups." And so I got in a group with Sam Montoya, Tom Ray, Dan Armstrong. And what can we pray for you about? Well, I just jumped in. I started talking to him about things I was going through. And let me tell you something. The devil wants you to think when you're going through something that you're the only one that's ever gone through that thing. That you're a loser, that you've made all these mistakes. How could you do this? You're the only one that's ever done this. And so immediately you don't want to talk to people about it because you don't want them to know you did it or that something happened to you, or you don't want them to judge you or whatever. But I just felt compelled that day. I just started telling them things that was going on with me in my life. And I went on for probably 10 or 15 minutes and just kept telling them things. And as soon as I got done, I just sat there. And then one by one, Dan, Sam, and Tom all started telling me stories in their life where they went through the exact same thing. And I can't tell you how powerful it was for me to hear other pastors say, that happened to me. That happened to me. That happened to me 10 years ago. That happened to me 15 years ago. That happened to me 3 years ago. It was so powerful. And the devil lost, right? The devil was defeated in my mind. Now, yeah, the devil was defeated. You know, those of us that understand the power of Jesus knows that the devil was defeated on the cross when Jesus died on the cross. But he kind of keeps limping back into our life when he's inside of this right here between our minds. And so we allow him to have residence there. But when you get in the presence of other people and you're vulnerable and you're transparent and you share your heart with other people, man, they begin to talk again, like, this is how mine went. Then we started praying for one another. I prayed for them, and they prayed for me. And I said, y'all, I'm sorry that I took up all y'all's time. Like, what are y'all going through? And they said, no, we needed this. We needed this. We need this for ourselves. So get together, shout with joy, all the earth, everybody, come on, worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him singing with joy. That's Psalm 101 and 2. Then the second thing is recognize that Jesus, man, he has it all figured out. Jesus has it figured out. To shake off that negativity, shake off that nothing. We get together with one another, but we also need to understand that Jesus already has it figured out. Psalm 103, acknowledge that the Lord is God. If we were to apply that to the New Testament, acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord and God. Jesus Christ is our Lord. He made us. We are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Now, I spent a whole message on this a couple weeks ago, two Sundays ago. If you missed it and want more of this particular point or message, go grab a hold of that on YouTube, our YouTube channel. It's on there. But for today, recognize that Jesus has it figured out. Now, when that negativity comes to you this week, next week, whenever it is, when that negativity comes to you, the first thing that you're going to think is that, you know, I'm the only one that's dealt with this, and I don't know how to figure this out. I don't know what's happening. You know, I know that God had a plan for my life, but he didn't think this was going to happen. Yes, he did. He knew it was going to happen. He knew that that negativity, it's surprising to you and it's news to you, but it's not news to God. He knew it was going to happen. He's got it figured out. The other piece of that is when you make a mistake yourself, you do something wrong, it's really hard to grab a hold of this idea because we say, yeah, I mean, God had a plan for my life, but I screwed it up. I messed it up. I'm here to tell you today, even when you mess it up, God still has it figured out. Amen. Still has it figured out. That's why he died on the cross for you, is because you messed it up. I mean, that's the whole point of salvation in Jesus. That's the whole good news about Jesus is, yes, you screwed it up. Yes, everybody else screwed it up. Jesus has it figured out. Number three, start with thanksgiving. And I think the important part of that whole point is start with it. Don't just wait, but start with it. Psalm 104, enter his gates with thanksgiving, go into his courts with praise, give thanks to him and praise his name. I talked to you about, you know, in Genesis, Adam and Eve got together with God. They joined together in worship with God. And here we are, thousands and thousands of years later, gathering together again. Well, something really changed dramatically in Moses' day, okay? And many people believe that Moses wrote this particular psalm, Psalm 100. But something happened in Moses' day where God instituted the tabernacle. And the tabernacle was a tent that was placed in the middle of the wilderness where all the Israelites were around it. And there was this tent, and inside that tent was a smaller tent called the Holy of Holies. And inside that tent was the Ark of the Covenant, where the presence of the Lord was physically tangible. They could feel the presence, be in the presence of the Lord. Well, in order to go from the community into the Holy of Holies, there was a massive process that had to take place. There was a fence that went around the outside of that tabernacle, and to get inside of that fence, there were gates. This scripture is saying, when we are coming into the presence of the Lord, this is the proper protocol. This is the proper path. We're going to start by going into the gates with thanksgiving. We enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and then the next part is called the courts. That's the space between the gate and the next level. There's outer courts and then inner courts. Then we go into the courts with praise. Thanksgiving is thanking God for what he's done. Praise is worshiping God for who he is. So we thank God for what he's done. Now, I want to encourage you, whenever you pray, whenever you talk to God, whether you're by yourself, kneeling at your bedside, or you're in your car, or it's at a meal time, you know, praying for your meal, or at church, or whatever, the first thing we want to do is have a heart of thanksgiving and not a heart of entitlement or ego or pride or, you know, being puffed up. No, instead, we want a humble heart. We want to start with humility. We want to start with appreciation. It's a shift from being, you know, taking things for granted in our life or just believing that they should be there to saying, I would have nothing if it wasn't for you. Amen. I would have nothing if it wasn't for you. So sometimes we have to start very, very simple at the core of our being. And I want to encourage you to do that, because when the negativity comes in, it's intoxicating. You would get blurred vision. We get distorted, distracted. We get mad. We get anxious. We get stressed because negativity's come in, and we want to shake that off. And so we want to enter into thanksgiving. And it's hard to do because that negativity is yelling at you like this, right? Whatever news it is that's negative, whether it's a child situation or money or legal situation or church situation or job, whatever it is, it's so loud. So we have to stop and meditate on the most basic things that we've taken for granted. Lord, I am stopping before I go anywhere else. And I literally did this week. Just, I'm going to start with the most basic thing, which is this kind of little circle around me. Lord, thank you for my health. Thank you for my mentality. Thank you for my skills that you've given me, my history, my present, my future. Lord, thank you for my wife. Thank you for Erica. Our marriage, it's better than it's ever been. Lord, thank you for that. God, thank you for Kennedy. Thank you for Jude. Thank you for Avery. I love my kids. Thank you for my home. Thank you for hot water. Thank you for food in the pantry. Thank you for food being delivered to my house. That's awesome. Lord, I'm so thankful and grateful for entertainment, for technology. I'm thankful to be connected. I'm thankful for my parents and my sister and her family. And I'm thankful for Promised Land. I mean, we're so blessed to have a church family like this that is so loving and so strong and so vibrant. I don't ever want to take for granted the church family that I have and seeing your faces. I mean, we learned that in March, April, and May. We couldn't even see each other at all. God, I'm just so thankful to see people. You know, it's just, Lord, I don't want to get so far away from that in prayer or in life that I'm not truly rooted in that gratitude. right? So I want to encourage you to spend as much time as you need just staying in that place of thanksgiving as you're, I mean, you know, meditation is a word that is kind of used in New Age circles and non-Christian circles, and it kind of feels weird or whatever to some people, but it's a God thing. It's a biblical thing to just sit and rest and focus, take some deep breaths, and just say, Lord, you are good. Amen. God, if you do nothing else in my life, you have done so much for me already. And I want to give you praise for that, and I want to thank you for that, that you have blessed me. And just be in that moment and give thanks. Start with thanksgiving. The fourth thing is this. This is a long game. This is a long game. This is a sports analogy. Some of you, it's a dating analogy too for some people. But, you know, whether it's golf or football or whatever, there's a difference between a short game and a long game. And a short game is all about the immediate. It's the sprint. It's that kind of thing. The long game is the marathon. And I told you earlier that the first thing the devil wants you to do is think that you're the only one that's gone through negative stuff. But the next thing that the devil's going to want to try to put on you is that this negative thing is going to be forever. Right? Like, this is not just a season. This is your life. And this negativity is going to define who you are, and it's your future, and it's everything about you. But look what the Bible says in Psalm 105. It says, for the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever. Your problems are not going to be forever. It feels like it. It looks like it. Sounds like it. But we have to get to the Word of God, and the Word of God says the only thing that's going to last forever is the unfailing love of God. I love what that song says. You take what the devil's meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. You turn it for good. So I'm just going to repeat that over and over. You're going to turn this for good. Woo, that's negative. That's terrible. But I'm going to shake that off because the Lord's going to do something. His love continues forever, and His faithfulness continues not just for you, but your kids and your kids' kids and those kids and those kids, and generation after generation are going to receive the goodness of God. Now, I know we've talked about this, and everybody talks about this. We feel like this generation coming up, oh my goodness, they are godless. They're terrible. They're rebellious, blah, 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 on and on and on. And it looks like it is the end of society, the end of the world, the end of the church, the end of Christianity. No, 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 no. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that God wins, that He has control, that He has this thing figured out. Don't get focused on the negativity. The Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever. When you start hearing that message in your head about the negativity, it's who you are. It's going to define who you are. It's everything about you. No, it's not. It's a season. I was so encouraged this morning at the 9 o'clock service. Sitting right back here was Michael Simpson, who we've been praying for a long time because he got COVID-19 and he was in the hospital for weeks and couldn't breathe, struggling. And I mean, it looked like the end was there. And Jesus said, nope, that's not going to be the end. I still have a plan for his life. I still have a purpose for his life. So playing a long game means that you're delaying gratification in the short term because there's going to be a long-term payoff. That's kind of what the long game is all about. But in a biblical sense, it's this. Don't let the short-term failure get in the way of God's long-term plan for your life. You're going to have failure. You're going to have sickness. You're going to run out of money. I mean, someone's going to betray you. Someone's going to leave you. These things are going to happen. We live in a broken, ugly, dark world. That's going to happen. But don't let that's a season of your life. Don't let that season define you, and don't get stuck in that season because God still has a long-term plan. His love continues forever, and His faithfulness continues to each generation. Now, some of you in a negative situation, you just need to get Psalm 100 out, and you need to read verses 1 through 5. And then you need to start back at 1 and go through 5 again. Then you need to start over and pray this, Psalm 100, Psalm 100. Keep praying it and believe it in your life. I want you to take this, the elements of communion that you have. Everybody online, grab your stuff at home there. If you're in person, there's two tabs. There's a clear tab at the very top. If you'll take that clear tab and just peel it back, you'll be able to access the bread. And then there's a silver tab. You can pull that, and that will give you access to the juice. And hold it for a second. We're going to take it together. We're going to prepare our hearts right now. If you would just bow your heads with me, we're going to pray a prayer of surrender and repentance. And maybe it's the first time you've ever done this. You don't even know what this is about. It's okay. It's okay. The Bible says we don't want to take this in an unworthy manner. We want to take it in a worthy manner. And the only way we can become worthy is to surrender. That's the worthy manner to do this. So this is a tradition that's been going on for hundreds of years, thousands of years. The bread represents the body of Christ that was sinless, pure, and perfect. If you want a relationship with God, if you want to access the powerful truth that I've been talking to you about today, and you want a relationship with God, there's really no reason that you can, okay? There's no ability for any of us to have a relationship with God. It's impossible. He's perfect. He's holy. He's all-knowing. He's all-powerful. He's in the past, present, and future all at once. I mean, it's just like, it's inconceivable that a finite human could have a relationship with an infinite God, but Jesus. God loved us so much, He didn't want to be separated from us, so He sends His Son, Jesus Christ, as God in the flesh, and Jesus Christ lives the perfect life as a human being, the life that we all want to live. Jesus lived it. He nailed it. He got it perfect. Jesus Christ, when He went to His death, deserved to be with God forever and ever and ever because of the work that He did. Now, the good news for everybody here, if you're watching online, this is for you too, everybody listening. The good news for us is that we can have a relationship with God if we will put our trust in Jesus. When we put our trust in Jesus, that He did everything possible, everything needed for us to have a relationship with God. If we'll set aside our need to be good, our need to puff ourselves up, our need to make a name for ourselves, if we'll surrender that and we'll say, you know what, Jesus, you got it. You did it. I trust in you, Jesus. I'm jumping in with you. If you'll put your trust in Jesus, that He did it, that makes you eligible. That saves you from you, from your sin. So on the night that He did go to His death, the night He was betrayed, the Bible says, He took the cup and the bread, He held the bread out and said, this is My body. When you get together with other people, other believers, eat the bread, and this is going to be a symbol of the sinless work that I did. So when we take this bread right now, we're taking the sinless work of Jesus into our hearts. So I want us to just pray to God right now. Would you just join with me and just say, Heavenly Father, I surrender my life to You right now. Come on, I can pray with you, but I can't pray for you, so you're going to have to pray for yourself. If you want in on this, let's pray together right now. Heavenly Father, I surrender to You right now. I give You my life. I need Your help, God. I believe in You, Jesus. I trust in You, Jesus. Please forgive me of my sin, all the mistakes that I've made. I admit them. I'm wrong. I need help. I need a Savior because I can't do it. Come on, let's be honest with God right now. I can't do it on my own. So I surrender to You, God. A heart of thanksgiving because I'm trusting in You, Jesus, that You've done the work for me. Everybody in here that maybe you've already given your heart to God, would you just say, Lord, I have a heart of thanksgiving right now. God, I give you the honor and the credit and the glory for everything in my life. God, I believe you got this figured out. God, I believe you're forever. I believe your love endures forever. I put my faith and my trust in you, Jesus. I prepare my heart for this season of Thanksgiving. Let it be a lifestyle of mine, not just a holiday. Thank you, Lord. If you'll take the bread that you have, and you can actually snap it as a symbol of God breaking it and the brokenness of his body and for us, broken body for us. You can now take the bread and eat it. After this, Jesus took the cup and blessed it. He said, this is a symbol of my blood. They're shed. You're going to be shed for the remission of all sins. If you know anything about the human body, the blood is the life source. There's no blood, there's no life. When we're talking about Jesus Christ, his blood has superpowers, right? It is the power of life that's going to be infused into you by faith. You know, that whole scripture we talked about, God has a plan for your life, God has a future, God's not giving up on you, all these kind of things. You know why? Because of the blood of Jesus. So what we're doing right now is we're taking it and drinking it as a symbol of what God's going to be doing from this day forward. Thank you, Lord. We bless this cup. We say, God, make a move as we surrender our heart to you. Lord, may your powerful blood just empower us, strengthen us, put us on your path in Jesus' name. Take now the cup. Thank you, Jesus.
Hearts of thanksgiving. We love you. We worship you this morning. Amen. And you guys can be seated for just a few minutes.